November 4th is midterm election day. Like you care. A recent Pew poll found that just 15% of Americans say they're following the midterm elections very closely. It is, however, slated to be the most expensive midterm ever, costing a projected $4 billion, much of it on TV advertising. Super PACs and 501c4s are some of the biggest spenders on political ads, boosting or smearing would-be legislators, mayors, and governors. But judges are also on the campaign finance gravy train. 90% of state judges must face voters at some point. And Emory University law professor Joanna Shepherd says the cash flowing to influence the election of state jurists has soared, especially since the 2010 Citizens United ruling opened the floodgates on independent political expenditures.
In the 2001-2002 cycle, independent spending was about $2.7 million, whereas in the most recent election cycle, 2011 to 2012, this number was $24.1 million. So that is a tenfold increase over the decade.
Shepherd is the co-author of a new study from Emory and the American Constitution Society that found that ads produced to influence judicial elections are designed to press the voters' hottest buttons.
Most voters don't really care about a lot of the technical, you know, somebody breached a contract, somebody didn't perform this the way they were supposed to. But what they do care about are ads about the way judges voted in specific criminal cases.
And it might sound a little something like this.
When child molesters sued to stop electronic monitoring of their locations, a law that let us track child molesters near schools, playgrounds, daycare centers, Supreme Court Justice Robin Hudson sided with the predators. Hudson cited a child molester's right to privacy and took the side of the convicted molesters. Justice Robin Hudson, not tough on child molesters, not fair to victims.
Do the facts of this case actually support the allegation in the ad?
No, they don't. There was a new law in North Carolina that said that people who had been convicted of child molesters could be monitored electronically. The problem was that the law as written could be construed as applying to people previously convicted. And so that means that it was instituting a retroactive punishment. And although that may sound good, that is actually unconstitutional in the United States to pass a new law that applies retroactively. And so Hudson's call was really based on her interpretation of the Constitution, certainly not her support for child molesters or anything else.
But who did fund it?
This ad was funded by a conservative group that in the past has received money from the Koch brothers, the Justice for All, North Carolina Super PAC.
Ah, the Koch brothers. So it's one thing to establish that the PACs have an agenda beyond, let's say, softness on crime, that they have political and economic motivations for unseating an incumbent. That's one set of problems. The other set of problems is if incumbents actually change their behavior on the bench in order to protect themselves in subsequent elections. How do you go about ascertaining if that's going on?
Over the years, there's been various surveys that ask judges what are the influences on the way they make decisions on the bench. And in several of these surveys, which are anonymous, the judges have indicated that money does seem to matter. For example, 46% of judges believe that campaign contributions have at least some influence on their decisions. I worked with a team of independent researchers at Emory University to code data from criminal appeals cases in the state Supreme Court of 32 states from 2008 to 2013 to see if there was an empirical link between the money, the TV ads, the recent ruling in Citizens United, and the way judges are ruling in these criminal cases.
And you discovered, sure enough, there is a correlation.
Yes, we found that the more TV ads aired during state Supreme Court judicial elections, the less likely justices are to vote in favor of criminal defendants. We consider a vote in favor of the criminal defendant to be any vote that betters the criminal's position at all from the position that they were in prior to appealing their case to the Supreme Court.
And can you quantify the margin pre-Citizens United to post-Citizens United?
prior to Citizens United, in the states that had bans on independent spending, we found that judges were about 7% more likely to vote in favor of criminal defendants than they were after Citizens United, when the bans on independent spending were eliminated and hence unleashed unlimited corporate and union independent expenditures, which are some of the primary sources of funding for TV ads.
On the subject of bias, the American Constitution Society is not a neutral player in this case. It's a think tank with an advocacy role, and it's a progressive organization coming from the political left. Should that influence how I interpret your research results?
I worked with the American Constitution Society in gathering this data, but I am a professor at Emory University Law School. The data collection process is very expensive. So with ACS's interest in these issues, it enabled us to fund coding of the cases, but ACS was in no way involved in choosing the researchers, choosing how I directed the study or anything like that.
The results you've shared with us today are horrifying, not in any way surprising. Now that we have statistical evidence that outside money is being used not only to influence elections, but also actual performance of duties by elected officials, what are we supposed to do with it?
Well, I think that it really distorts the role of the judiciary from a neutral interpreter of the law to something that's more political by nature. Currently, the states are split on whether or not individual judges can ask for financial contributions directly to contributors. And there's a new case pending before the Supreme Court this year, Linnell Williams U. Lee versus the Florida Bar, which will ask whether state bans on judges individually soliciting campaign contributions are constitutional or not. And obviously, that's a big issue. I mean, the implications of our study and other studies in the past suggest that money is influencing case outcomes. And so if judges are able to directly solicit money, that will potentially make the problem significantly worse.
There was a time when the judiciary was mainly appointed, and society has come around to a different way of thinking. Do your data suggest that we had it right in the first place?
Yeah, well, the original 13 colonies were appointive, and it was during the Jacksonian era where elections were heralded as protecting our government officials from any sort of undue influence. When the states were considering a switch to elections, they did not anticipate how much money would be raised in these races, how political they would become. There's a quote from a union organizer who's been involved in campaigning in these judicial elections, who says, "We figured out a long time ago that it's easier to elect 7 justices than 132 legislators." And that's essentially what's going on. We can influence which laws are passed, or we can influence how those laws are interpreted or whether or not they're upheld once they reach the Supreme Court. And it's, you know, money well spent.
Joanna, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Joanna Shepherd is co-author of Skewed Justice, Citizens United, Television Advertising, and the State Supreme Court Justices' Decisions in Criminal Cases, a new study from Emory University and the American Constitution Society.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.